First Franklin Financial is now open in Millington, offering fixed-rate personal loans up to $15,000 with payment plans to fit any budget. Our same-day approval makes it easy to get your money fast. So the next time you need a personal loan, we're located on Wilkinsville Road in Millington, or visit us at 1ffc.com. All loan terms and APRs depend on meeting our underwriting and income criteria and may require collateral. Same-day approval and funding requires all requested documents by noon. First Franklin Financial Corporation, NMLS 141654. Georgia Residential Mortgage Licensee 5656. Not available in North Carolina.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. This is the voice of the Christian resistance now more than ever, and we're needed now more than ever. Tonight on this August 11th, which is a Thursday, 2022. Now, with that, I have my faithful staff in here with me tonight, sitting here ready to roll. I mean, they're crunching it to bit. They want to go. But we have on the board the faithful, courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And I got to adjust my headset here. Okay. And then from right to right, we have in here none other than Randall Gay.
Hey, be blessed, no stress, everybody.
And so what's her name again? Oh, Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
There you go. So there you go. And folks, it's hard being their hero, but I try. Alrighty, we have to get going. We got a lot to do tonight. And so, boy, do we have a lot to cover tonight. You ready for lightning rounds? You ready?
I'm ready.
You
ready? Let's do it.
Yes. Okay.
Blitzkrieg.
Yes.
Okay, we start off in Hebrews chapter 1. And Randy?
No, sure. God, who at sundry times, in divers manners, spake in times past, unto the fathers of the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, hath he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels saith he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Okay, stop right there. Sure. Now we're going to take a look at what we've just covered here. First of all, here, what do we have? We have forth-telling. Now there's a difference between, now in this day, these apostles here, and the writer of this was a foreteller. And now, a lot of people don't wonder who wrote it. They don't think that it was the Apostle Paul because there's some minor differences in the way he wrote. I think he's got his signature all over it, but some think it was Barnabas, some think it was Apollos, some think it was even Priscilla might have been a part of this. So, but there's some minor differences in the styles, and of course at this time too, Paul was getting older, and he had not been had an easy life at this point. So, anyhow, so we see that the difference between foretelling and forthtelling, and foretelling, it says here that in times past, he spoke to the fathers by the prophets, and in a diverse manner. So he spoke to the by the prophets. What are the ways that he speak to the people?
You're saying the ways that God spoke to people?
Yeah.
Through prophets, through the scripture itself?
Visions?
Through psalms,
dreams, however.
When he first spoke to Moses the first time, how did he speak to Moses?
Face to face, wasn't it? I mean, well, the burning bush.
The burning bush.
The burning bush.
How did he speak to Balaam?
Jackass.
Okay. How did he speak to Elijah after Elijah had fled from Hillary or Jezebel?
He speak to Elijah. Oh, in the still small voice out of the wind.
The whirlwind.
The whirlwind.
Okay. So he spoke to him in a lot of different ways. Also to the Psalms and the Proverbs. He spoke to the people. And in fact, in Job, we see a very interesting situation where Job's friends thought that they were hearing from God himself, but it wasn't. The devil was talking to him.
Right.
Yes.
And so we see in the garden, he spoke directly to Adam and Eve, okay? And, of course, he spoke to Moses and Abraham face-to-face, didn't he?
Face-to-face.
Yes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And so he, that was foretelling. That was foretelling. Today, you have what you call forthtelling. And so how do the prophets, who are the prophets today?
We have scripture, and then we have pastors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're teaching from, it says right here, hath in the last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom he hath made the world. So now, here he's saying through the word of God, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass, but what my words will
never pass away.
Okay, they'll never pass away. Now, so he's speaking to us through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here today. Now, he's making a point that there's a major difference between how the Judaizers worshipped, or Judaism is what I meant to say. In Judaism, they worshipped angels.
Yeah.
Okay, especially the Sadducees, they worshipped angels. Now, here, they placed angels above Messiah, above the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't they?
Yeah, they
yes.
Did.
So, in this passage, he's making it very clear that the Lord Jesus is far, far superior to angels, right?
Yes.
He's far, far greater than angels. As he said, who he appointed heir of all things, but also whom he made the world. So here, there are those that now that say that Jesus is the Son of God, but he's not God the Son. There are those that teach that, and those that believe that Christ came into existence when he was born of Mary. And but how could that possibly be when he made the world?
But that's what I was going to say. He's declaring his eternal existence.
In Genesis, here we see, right here, we see in a number of places, in Colossians, in the Gospel of John, that predates every other passage of Scripture.
Yes.
One, that Christ was the creator. That
right.
he was the second person of the Trinity.
And he upholds all things, he's saying here, too, by the word of God.
So then how could he possibly have only existed at the birth of by Mary?
That's impossible.
Right.
Okay. So now here he goes, who brings the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of majesty on high, and being made so much better than the angels, as he hath an inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. So how did that happen? That doesn't make well sense, because you know he was there in the beginning, right? I mean, he was there. Christ was pre-eternal. He was eternal. He was pre-existent. So now, how was it that he was made much higher than the angels? Because actually, he made the angels himself.
Because he came and took on a body and came as the Son. So while he was pre-existent, before we'll say the world was, he also he took on a second, we'll call it incarnation, through Mary. And then he ascended on high after he died the death and was resurrected.
Well, you're on the right track, except for he took on the position of the only begotten. Now,
okay.
So, in other words, he was the Trinity had a pecking order, just like we do in a family. In a family, the husband is the head, the father is the head of the house, the wife and the children are submissive to the father, and the children are submissive to the parents. So, in this situation, in the Trinity, and we were made in the likeness after the likeness of the Lord, God the Father always gives the marching orders. God the Son always carries them out, and the Holy Ghost provides the power. We see that from Genesis all the way through Revelation, don't we?
Yes. Yeah.
So now here, we go and we say, for now he's talking about the fact that how Christ is so superior to the angels. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So at that point, there came a certain point in time when God the Father pointed a position, and he gave this position, and the Son took up that position. Okay? And here now, and when he bringeth in the first begotten to the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he said, who maketh the angels spirits and ministers on a flame of fire. Now, so here, in order for the angels to worship him, that was a declaration of the deity of the second person of the Trinity, right?
Yes.
But now, for those that say, well, he is the Son of God, but not God the Son. So who then declared him to be God the Son? Well, it was God the Father,
yes,
that
the
declared
Father.
Him. We see here, and again, he goes on and says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Now here's God the Father speaking. And unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So now, you've got God the Father referring to God the Son as God.
As God.
Yes.
Okay, so we're declaring here the equality in their deity, huh?
Yes.
And so, then he says, and thou, Lord, it's just like when we talked about with humanity, the father and the wife and the child, even though here you had the order where the wife and children were submissive to the husband, to the father, but in their humanity, they were all equal. There was the equality in their humanity. They were all equal as being humans, weren't they?
Yes,
they were. Yeah.
And so even though you had an order here, a marching order, in the Trinity, in deity, they were all equal, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so now you go, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and the years shall not fail. In other words, he's talking that Christ is eternal, isn't he?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, he doesn't age, does he?
He doesn't age, right, ageless, right.
But to whom, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Now, are they not all ministering spirits who sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, you often hear people say, my guardian angel was there. Do you have a guardian angel?
Not in the sense that people in the world mean. I mean, angels do serve us, but not, there's not the one that, like, just kind of sits there and does.
So angels are always interceding on our behalf, but did you ever have a guardian angel?
No.
Yeah, you did too. You see, let me read that.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. They are not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So until we're saved, until we are saved, we have a guardian angel.
Okay.
Now, why don't we need a guardian angel after we're saved?
We got the Holy Spirit.
Sealed by the Holy Spirit.
And so where does the angel get his power?
From God.
From God.
From the Holy Spirit.
Oh, it's Holy Spirit, right. Mm-hmm. God, well, same thing, yeah.
So there you go. So we do have angels continuously interceding on our behalf, but guardian angels are only given to us until we're saved. And so now, let's go over to Isaiah 45.
Okay.
In Isaiah 45, now the title of the message was, Our God is an Awesome God. Our God is an Awesome God.
Now, which are we starting at the first verse, or are we?
No, Isaiah 45 in verses 17 and 18.
Okay. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else.
Okay, so up until this time, Israel, for the most part, had anticipated only a temporal salvation. They didn't talk about eternal salvation. And so their temporal salvation would come in the form of being delivered out of the hands of their enemies.
Enemies, yes.
Okay. But now that had changed. Now Isaiah says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting, salvation, as not to be ashamed, nor conformed world, nor confounded world without end. Okay. And so he's saying that Israel is going to be given, the time will come when they're going to have an everlasting salvation. Now, was God's people, and even to this very day, is Israel mocked by the world?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Does the world love Israel, or does the world
hate
Israel?
The world hates Israel.
They hate Israel.
So he says, not be ashamed nor confounded by the world. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, and he that established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So what does that say about God's authority?
It's absolute.
Absolute. Yes.
So he has absolute authority. He said there's none other than him. There's none else. So the word potentate is used one time in the Bible, and that's a description of the creator of the earth. And it was referred to who?
Jesus.
It was referred to as Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And potentate means what? The definition of potentate means what?
He's like the final authority, the absolute power.
The ultimate absolute power. And
yes.
Authority. And so, now, when we read the Word of God, can we read this with absolute authority?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so, has there at any time ever in a history, in all of history, anything that is in any way proven that this word, this Bible, is less than the absolute Word of God?
No.
It cannot be proven.
No.
It proves the opposite,
yes.
That it is the absolute.
Okay, so let's go over to Psalm 90 and read me verses 1 through 4 and tell me what does that mean about, because it's saying something about God.
Psalm 90, 1 through 4. Mm-hmm. Okay, one more. Here we go. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the foundations were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
Okay, so here now, he's saying that God has no beginning, God has no end.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been, and he always will be.
Right.
He's eternal. Time has absolutely no bearing on God. Now, does time have an effect on us?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What is time doing to us?
It eventually just erodes us away, if you will.
So, does time and gravity team up?
Yes.
And it can make a mess out of us, can it?
Yes.
Well, it does.
Yeah. And it could turn the mirror into a hostile place.
That's exactly.
Yes, it can.
Yes.
So, but with God, time has no effect at all. You see, because we are controlled by it.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot reclaim 10 minutes ago. We can't. It's impossible. No. With all of our technology, we cannot reclaim 10 minutes.
Not 10 seconds.
And we cannot guarantee 10 minutes from now.
Yeah.
But now God, with God, time is what God says it is. And so God can go back and forth through time as he wants. It will do as he says. You say, well, how in the world is that possible? With men, it's not. But with God, all things are possible.
Possible.
Yes.
And so that's what an awesome, awesome thing to think about, that how God himself can be, he can make us young again. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to have glorified bodies, huh?
Yes.
Thank God.
All righty. And so I think we ought to stop right here.
Okay.
And I think we ought to play that commercial. Play the commercial. Wake him up in there. Look at him. He's in there.
China quietly invading America. Now top GOP leaders have sprung into action to stop them cold. In this report, I'm going to be discussing a new bill that has been introduced by Republicans in an effort to prevent the Chinese Communist Party from buying up more American land. It's a new bill that's making waves in Washington. This bill, proposed by Republicans, would aim to prevent the Chinese Communist Party from succeeding in their secret invasion of America. Don't click away. You're going to want to hear this story. But by the way, your freedom is at stake. So get the news that impacts America. Tap that subscribe button to preserve it. Well, it's about time. Finally, someone's taking action about China buying up land here in the U.S. I cannot believe it has taken this long for someone to actually reveal that China is buying land in the U.S. in a major national security concern. The Securing America's Land from Foreign Interference Act is in response to a 2020 report issued by the U.S. Department of Agriculture suggesting that foreign persons held an interest in nearly 37.6 million acres of U.S. agricultural land. Town Hall reports China's holdings of U.S. agricultural land increased from 13,720 acres in 2010 to 352,000 acres in 2020, according to the USDA report. Republicans have raised concern about the Chinese land purchases near U.S. military installations because possible intelligence gathering could occur. Take a look.
Over the past 2 years, Chinese nationals have begun buying up tens of thousands of acres of farmland in the state of Oklahoma. While they've been doing so in a number of states, Oklahoma has become their go-to state for these purchases. Given the economic and the national security ramifications here, Congress should get involved. Well, now they are. My next guest, Senator Tom Cotton, and his colleague, Tommy Tuberville, introduced a bill this week that would ban the CCP and anyone associated with the CCP from buying up American land. And it's not just the Oklahoma farmland I told you about. According to the National Association of Realtors, Chinese investors were one of the top foreign purchasers of U.S. land, spending a record $6.1 billion last year just on existing homes. Senator Cotton joins me now. Senator, I can hear the libertarians out there saying, well, what's the big deal here? China's engaging in, you know, capitalism. They're buying up land. That's driving up prices. Why isn't that good for the economy?
Well, our libertarian thought is very helpful in guiding tax policy and regulatory policy here in the United States. Ronald Reagan understood that. But in a world of borders, it doesn't work quite so well. Borders that are open on our border with Mexico, or we have Chinese influence crossing into our border from mainland China. And trying to, or letting China buy up our farmland or our food companies is a massive strategic mistake. Look, the simple facts are this. China cannot feed itself. The United States can not only feed our own citizen, but feed much of the world thanks to the productivity of our farmers and our ranchers. Why would we ever want to surrender that huge strategic advantage to China?
Good point. Well, Senator Cotton issued a press release stating that China's agricultural investments in countries around the globe grew more than tenfold from 2009 to 2016. China's Ministry of Agriculture claims that the country had over 1,300 agricultural, forestry, and fisheries enterprises with registered overseas investments of $26 billion at the end of 2016. Cotton continues to state that Chinese investments in the U.S. agriculture may provide the CCP with undue leverage over U.S. supply chains and access to sensitive information critical to U.S. national security. It appears that Senators Cotton and Tuberville are on the case, but with a deadlock in the Senate and Vice President Kamala Harris being the controlling vote on any of these major party line bills, who knows how a vote of this magnitude will go. Further, we all know that, quote, the big guy has business ties to China. And honestly, who could trust him to actually sign that bill into law? But comment your thoughts below.
This is Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America. All righty, we're back, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, China. Here's the problem. So we were talking about this going all the way back when Slick Willie was in. Slick Willie was selling us, that's Bill Clinton, by the way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was selling America out to China back then. We were talking about it. And, you know, since then, it's continued. Now, you say, well, whoa, how could 3 point something, are you telling me 300 million acres of land is sold to China? Well, there's, multiply that by three, and that's how much Bill Gates has bought. Now, we're talking about farmland. Now, let me ask you a question. This is deep, right? Whoever controls the farmland, they also control what?
The food supply.
Yeah, the food supply.
Right.
Yes, supply, goodness, yes, the food supply.
Now, let me ask you this. Do people need food?
Yes.
That's the one thing you got to have every day. Mm-hmm. You don't have to drive a car and ride around necessarily, but you got to eat.
Yeah. Okay, so if you control the food, you control the people, right?
Yes, you do.
Now, so we see that here you got Gates and China. And by the way, I remember going all the way back. I mean back, you know, in the 90s, telling people that there were something like, at that time they knew of over 20,000 Chinese students that came here on student visas and then just disappeared after they disappeared.
They got here, right.
And now it's, well, they know that it's probably closer to maybe 50 or 100,000, okay, Chinese students that have come here. So they're here, yes. And they're in places all throughout the government. Now, they could not, China nor Gates could not do this without the help of the real enemy of America, the most powerful enemy, the enemy that we have to be concerned the most about, and that's who?
I think the radical left.
The Democratic, yes. Communist Party.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The former Democratic Party. Today we know that they are the Democratic Communist, yes. The collective. Okay, they're the real enemies of America. They're the ones that want to take away our freedom. Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
You know, and now here, the chances of them passing that bill through the senator is zero. I mean, they're not, unless they could get maybe a Manchin or one other to come over. And, you know, and of course, Manchin, he uses
Manchin just softened. He just softened up.
No, he's done that in the past. He you know, when he gets what he thinks, he holds out until he gets, and he's willing. Now, Manchin knows, too, West Virginia depends a whole lot on farmland, okay?
Absolutely.
And so he knows that. And so the only chance we have is if we have a couple of defectors from the Democratic Party. On the other side of that, we have rhinos in the Republican Party that are they have their pocketbooks open. You know, they're willing to take. I mean, unfortunately, this is the state of the union today.
It is
in,
yes.
America, and so here, China has come out and literally said they own the Bidens. They own them.
Yeah,
the Bidens will. They're their property. They. China has enough on the big guy. They could put him away forever and ever and ever, okay? So who else do they own? Apparently they own the FBI.
And don't forget the generals.
Right. Well, we have the actual real generals, and I'm not talking about Miley and Austin.
Okay.
Those guys, they're traitors. They are traitors to this country. They're doing everything they can to destroy our military.
Well, come on, they out and out said they would call China and warn them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. our enemies. And so now you have one other entity that's involved, and that's BlackRock. BlackRock has bought out a lot of your homes, a lot of your single,
that's right.
And your apartment,
that's right.
Buildings, and they control that. And so, but the main thing is the Democratic Communist Collective. One thing, that they're all a part of that. They're all a part of that. And so here, they're going to do everything they can. I have an article here. Merrick Garland, and again, I've said it many, many times, he would be very hard-pressed to find a bigger crook, someone that is actually more corrupt than he is, to prosecute. Now, these people are afraid. Why are they so afraid? They're deathly afraid of Donald Trump. Well, it's about pedophilia. It's a whole lot about pedophilia.
Absolutely.
And Trump knows. They know Trump knows where literally all the bodies of the babies are buried, you know, the children, okay? And so up in the ranks of the so-called Democratic Party elite, you're a pedophile or you're nobody in that. And, of course, they own, China also owns NBC, ABC, CBS. They will say what China wants them to say. You know, when it comes to the so-called narrative, their narrative will be whatever China says it is. Let me read this. Attorney General Merrick Garland delivered remarks at 3:04 p.m. Eastern, an unprecedented raid on President Donald Trump's home. Remember, at first he said he knew nothing about it, and now all of a sudden he admits that, okay? Garland threatens Americans who attack the integrity of the FBI. The FBI has no integrity. There is no integrity, and anyone and everyone that says there is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them, and especially not a bit of truth in Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland is a traitor. He was angry when he got passed over because of his past activity. He could not be, even the Democrats had a hard time getting him on the Supreme Court. Even that's right. A lot of them said, yes. You know, that's really, I mean, this guy is really out there. And look how some of the ones they put on there, how bad they are. And so here, Garland, again, he's threatening people that speak out against the fascist bullying insurrectionists, which was formerly the FBI. Now, Garland has not commented on the raid to this point. On Monday, at least 30 FBI agents, those are the ones that went in the house, there were 100 of them, raided Mar-a-Lago in their continued fishing expedition to manufacture a crime against the legitimate president, Donald Trump. Garland today basically admitted they have nothing. They have nothing on President Trump. And he could not identify anything that the president did that was illegal. Here's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of what President Trump has on Garland and has on the FBI.
That's right.
This is what they're worried about.
Yes.
And so, here, let me find that article.
You know, while you're looking, I've got a thing here that Joe Biden's FBI apprehends a GOP representative while traveling with family one day after raid on Donald Trump's home. After raiding President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago, Scott Perry, a Republican member of Congress from Pennsylvania, they seized his phone, and he's a staunch Trump supporter. Says, my phone contains info in my legislation, political activities, personal private per discussions with my wife, family, constituents, friends. None of this is government business. And then he says, this kind of banana republic should concern every citizen, especially considering the decision before Congress this week to hire 87,000 new IRS agents to further prosecute and persecute law-abiding citizens. And he says up here that the FBI, under the direction of Merrick Garland, Department of Justice, would seize the phone of a sitting member of Congress. My phone contains, and then he says, the same information.
Here, huge development. Here's an article by Jim Hoft. Huge development report alleges FBI had personal stake in Mar-a-Lago raid. Agents were after Spygate documents Trump was holding that likely implicated the FBI. As reported earlier today, President Trump declassified a binder on January 19, 2021, that contains hundreds of pages about the Crossfire Hurricane scandal. It contains damaging information about the corrupt actions involved with our government. Two different DOJ attorney generals have defiled President Trump's direct lawful order to publish the binder in the Federal Register. It's been 19 months as the DOJ defies the order and every Freedom of Information Act request to make it public. Can we now raid the homes of acting AG Monty Wilkinson and Merrick Garland? You know, what's going to happen is they're going to get what's coming. You know, what comes around goes around.
Exactly.
Yes.
And they're going to find out. They're going to reap what they're sow. They're going to reap what they're sow. Now, I want to bring up John McTernan. We have John McTernan with us.
Oh, good. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Big John, are you there?
I'm here, Pastor Ernie.
Okay. I don't know if you just heard, but I was just talking about how the report that FBI had personal stake to Merrill Hargo about Spygate documents that Trump had. The DOJ had already made redactions to protect sources and methods and returned the binder back to the White House. But the corrupt FBI also wanted to hide names. So at the last minute, the DOJ demanded the binder company with the 1974 Privacy Act. The act requires any agency that releases records to also hide personnel or identifiable name information. The DOJ knew this act doesn't apply to the White House. It was a stall tactic. The courts decided this 22 years ago that the Privacy Act was based on freedom of information requests and that the White House is now not an agency. Hours before Trump left office on January 20th, Chief of Staff Mark Meadows gave the binder back to the DOJ along with this memo. He asked the DOJ to make any Privacy Act redactions out of an abundance of caution. In the memo, he asked that they expeditiously release the binder when finished. Meadows foolishly expected that this would take 3 to 4 days. It's been 19 months and still not released. Just the news recently obtained that Meadows memo from the National Archives, who also denied having a copy of the declassified binder. What do you think of all that?
Well, Pastor Ernie, that's them. That's the we got criminals. You know, they were criminals under Trump. There's so many of them. It's so broad. They're criminals, and they're hiding. They're not going to put a noose around their own neck. So they're going to do everything they can: lie, cheat, extort, steal, bribe, whoever, whatever it takes. There's no end, Pastor Ernie, to the corruption. No, none. It's like the floodgates have opened and we can see it all now, or at least a lot of it.
All right. John F. Kennedy wanted to do away with the CIA, and they had an investigation into the FBI, and they killed him. Ronald Reagan also was looking into communism. And remember what was that little country that he went after? I'm having a senior moment there.
Grenada.
Okay.
Grenada. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of that had to do with our intelligence agencies, so on and so forth. And they tried to kill him. Okay. Yeah. I can see that the next step, you know, not only John Kennedy, but Bobby, too, was investigating the corruption within the FBI, okay? I can see them making an attempt to kill President Trump, the legitimate president of the United States, because of the corruption. John, you were a 26-year special federal agent for 26 years. Give those FBI agents, because I've been telling them, these FBI agents, that they need to repent. There was a time when they could hold their head up, look you in the eye, and tell you they worked for the FBI. There was a time when their children weren't afraid to tell the other kids at school that my dad works for the FBI. There was a time with people like Ted Gunderson, who was a good friend, a dear friend of mine, he had honor, integrity, and decency, and then we knew a number of FBI agents that you could say that about. But that's changed today. And you made the point that those at the top, when they hire people like themselves. And I don't know how deep it goes, but would you give the FBI agents some advice? Because can they get over on God?
Oh, no, Pastor. No. No. I think that part of their soul dies when they follow these corrupt orders. They become hard. They don't even know it. They don't even know it, Pastor Ernie. But to be, you know, the FBI has special, like, squads, I'm going to say, within the FBI. So I don't think it was locals that did this to the president. I think this was like a team from Washington or Virginia.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were from Washington.
Yeah, I figured that. And these are the heart of the hardest, Pastor Ernie. You know, I don't know if it's reached down to all the FBI yet. Eventually it will when you have people like Ray there as the chief and the people under him. It's poison that flows downhill. But to the FBI agents, when push comes to shove, Pastor Ernie, I'm not cowering to them, you know. I'm not going to just roll over and let them take the whole country. There's millions like me, millions and millions. And we're watching this, and they're not following the law. They're renegades. And you FBI agents that are doing this, you're not under the rule of law. You probably feel tremendous power inside because you're the FBI, and you know you're picking on who was that guy, Pastor Ernie? They just put in leg chains, a 70-year-old, one of Trump's advisors at the airport. Remember?
Oh yeah,
Navarro. Yeah, a 70-year-old man. In fact, he lives very close to the FBI building. He can walk from his house. They didn't have to do that.
No, they wanted to try to. They're bullying. This is why, from now on,
right, the
FBI means fascist bullying insurrectionists. That's what the FBI stands for now, fascist bullying insurrectionists.
Well, the whole nation is watching you. And at some point, you're like bringing it to us. You're bringing it to us, and it's gonna reach a terrible conclusion in this. So if you want to work for the new world order, which you work for, your boss and right up to Garland and Joe Biden and Obama and all of them, you know, they're arms of the new world order. You're selling out America to bribery with China. Your boss, Joe Biden, his son got, what, $1.8 billion, Pastor Ernie? Remember?
Yeah, well, from the Chinese.
Yeah, from the Chinese.
Not million, billion, folks.
Yeah, $1.8 billion.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton just went over there, and not Hillary Clinton.
Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, and her son was with her, Pastor Ernie. Her son.
He was involved in just as many corrupt deals as Hunter Biden.
Yeah, I think the way it's working out is this Pelosi guy is to Taiwan like Hunter Biden is to the Ukraine. Well, China too, but the Ukraine. We got these politicians' sons or children, maybe daughters are involved too.
How about John Kerry?
Yeah, they carry. Oh, yeah, John Kerry and Romney.
Mitt Romney, yeah.
Yeah, so at the FBI, you become stooges of the New World Order. So is that what you want? You want to destroy America? You want to be a part being used to destroy America, to destroy the Constitution, the whole legal system, and what's going to replace it? What's going to replace it?
Well, you see, again, they don't seem to understand. Somehow, somehow these agents think that when the country goes totally communist, that they will have a high place, them and their families. But it's not going to work that way, is it?
It won't, Pastor Ernie. I think, you know, like with Hitler, he had to purge out an element below him because they weren't trustworthy. And the way I understand it about Lenin, that Lenin didn't like traitors when he was taking over. Now, there were traitors against the Tsar and against the government because he felt that they would could easily turn on him.
Well, do you remember what Hitler did? Because the media there in Nazi Germany, the NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN of that day in Nazi Germany, when Hitler had decided, well, you know what? If they would betray their countrymen so quickly, they would betray me. And the media told
him. That's the way both Lenin and Hitler felt that
yeah.
way.
But the media told Hitler, how dare you? You need us. And Hitler says, no, he showed them pretty clearly how little he did need them. He had his own people that would do whatever he said, okay? And that's what he installed in those that betrayed their countrymen. So today, would you say that NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and Fox News now, too,
wow,
Fox News
right.
is gone, that they are betraying the countrymen?
Absolutely. They're all arms of the New World Order. It's out in the open. I mean, Klaus Schwab is giving, we're talking about it here, what Klaus Schwab is saying at the World Economic Forum. We've infiltrated your nations, and we've got our people at different levels, and we're all working together. And we're basically, they haven't said this, but that's what they mean. We're going to own everything, and you'll rent from us. And we're going to control everything. Now that he's out saying they want to take automobiles away from us, and they want to starve us out. And that's who you're working for, FBI. You're working for the New World Order. They're out in the open. This isn't some conspiracy on what's right, what's left. It is out in the open. They are saying what they are doing. They're saying we've infiltrated you. That they're naming the nations, that, well, not them all, but some of them, that we've infiltrated you. So they've had people here. Klaus Schwab has had people here. The governor of California sticks out in my mind. And also that guy there from Indiana, what's his name? Buttigieg?
Yeah.
Disciple of Klaus Schwab. And who? I think Biden. Biden sat under his seminars and all.
Biden,
who you work for, FBI.
Mr. Trudeau is also a disciple.
Yeah, Trudeau.
Bill Gates was one of his disciples. Little Marky Zuckerberg was also one of his disciples. So all of these people that you're talking about there, okay. But my guest is, you know, we're coming up to a break. But look, you started Cops for Christ International. And I remember at one time there were a number of Christians within the FBI. For those that are still there, what advice? Well, we're coming up to a break, so you'll have to wait till the other side of the break. But what advice do you give? Because we don't hate them. We're ashamed. And for the people that the agents within the FBI that still have some honor, some integrity, that still believe in God. You know, they need to hear from you, the founder of International National Cops for Christ, the co-founder. So when we get back after this break, I want you to give them some advice, John, on what they need to do. All right, so we're coming up to the break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries.
14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
First Franklin Financial is now open in Millington, offering fixed-rate personal loans up to $15,000 with payment plans to fit any budget. Our same-day approval makes it easy to get your money fast. So the next time you need a personal loan, we're located on Wilkinsville Road in Millington. Or visit us at 1ffc.com. All loan terms and APRs depend on meeting our underwriting and income criteria and may require collateral. Same-day approval and funding requires all requested documents by noon. First Franklin Financial Corporation, NMLS 141654. Georgia Residential Mortgage Licensee 5656. Not available in North Carolina.